Blog Talk Radio.
Talking to you live. We got 30 to 27 minutes to talk to anybody who calls in. We've got a call on hold. We're going to take that call and we're going to see if that person has a question. Go ahead, question. You're on.
What's Trump up? Rules.
You like Trump? What do you like about him? What's your biggest? Oh, see, that's, we lost one. That's one guess down. All they got was Trump rules. That was it. Last caller. You got one more call. You got 26 minutes to take. This is what they've reduced this down to at Blog Talk Radio. You get two callers, 30 minutes of free time. That's it. I think it's hilarious. Okay, we got another caller. Let's see if this is a real call. Then I'll just talk for 28 minutes. Okay, caller, you're on. What's your question?
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
Is this David Sponheim?
This is he. Thanks for calling. What's up?
I love your program, man. You and Sarah, fantastic.
That's
it's
great,
really
yeah.
Great. I'm with you every night. I'm digging it. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
No. That's the only call I have. You got to stay on. That was my last call. So I got two calls. One guy said Trump rules, and the other guy didn't have a question. I have nothing to work with here. Look what ScissorFi just got for free. A Zildjian thimble. That's a very big thimble. That's amazing. Somebody in a drum set there didn't realize what they were getting rid of. Are you going to turn this into a hat or make a wok out of it? Or you can cook with those. You know, you can also pan for gold if you cover the hole. Otherwise, all the gold goes out the hole. Well, good for you, man. Nice, yeah. So we're on the show. I'll try to take a call. I don't think they'll let me in. Hey, caller, hello, are you on? Caller? Hello? Yeah, see that? They wouldn't let you call in. My maximum number.
Sarah loves Andrew.
Whoa, somebody else got in. You see that? Okay. We have a possibility here. Let's play another song. You finally found me, yeah. Yeah, what kind of a service is this? I know. We had two callers and we had two trolls. So, yeah, it sounded like it's amazing. And I get to talk for 26 minutes now. 25 minutes and counting. We're allowed two callers at a time. Oh, no. Oh, I thought I was only allowed two callers. Okay, ScissorFi, thank you for clarifying. I didn't read the terms of service at Blog Talk Radio. Gosh. By the way, the Blog Talk Radio CEO is an Ashkenazi Jew, Alan Levi, just so you know. All right. That's why I only get two callers at a time. So we do have an open line here from 646-787-8366. That's 646-787-8366. Go ahead, caller. You're on number one caller, area code 250. What's your question?
Hey, Dave.
Great.
Can you hear
audio.
Me?
I hear you. I hear you great. Yeah. What's up?
Hey, listen, this is Dark Engine calling you.
Cool. Yeah.
Hey, listen, I wanted to ask you, how are you going to deal with the challenges that you're going to face once you become president? I mean, you're going to have the left and right against you, and you're going to have the Illuminati and all those other organizations against you. I don't know how you're going to deal with it.
Well, I'm dealing with it right now, aren't I? I mean, I'm facing the reality that I could die at any time. I could be blown away because they see me as a threat. So I'm already dealing with that reality. Once I have power, what we need to do is make sure we a lie detector test everybody close to the president. That's going to be my first order of business. And that means we expand out an inner circle, making a larger circle of people that we can trust. And we're going to lie detector test all our way through the FBI, the NSA. And we don't have oversight of the CIA, but we're going to make sure we pick a good director who will be vetted and lie detector tested. And we will be able to at least do it before he joins the CIA. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I know, but you're talking about you have like tens of thousands of employees that will be embedded in the NSA, CIA, and all that. And you're going to have rogue guys going after you like that. Plus, you're going to have all the press against you and all that other stuff. It's going to be really hard.
I know. I'm looking forward to it. It's exactly what I want. I want to be in the middle of that.
Well, yeah, plus George Soros.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, George Soros will be against you, too, and you'll have billions of dollars against you.
I know. And, you know, George Soros is already under a standing order for arrest by Vladimir Putin. So we just have to extend that to make it and work with Interpol, and we can put George Soros in jail for what he's done, not only to our country, but Russia's country as well. So we will find commonality to get rid of and root out the worst possible of these mobsters, people that are controlling our policy. George Soros, in case you didn't know, folks, has invested $550 million into a hedge fund that banks against our economy and our stock market dropping to 7,000 or 8,000 points, which is possible. So he would profit tremendously. He'd make $1.5 billion by investing $550 million. He could make $1.5 billion in return, which is exactly what he did with Bank of England. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you concerned at all about the pressures that the left wing and some of the right wing are putting on people in regard to free speech? Like, regardless of what your view is, there seems to be an extreme leftist view that are suppressing people from saying their views. And it's getting more and more prevalent. Even people on YouTube, like popular people on YouTube, they're actually being kicked off their channels and everything because they have voiced their opinion. And it seems to be getting harder and harder for people to speak.
You're right. And that we saw this happen in 2011 when Google suppressed the patriots that were fighting for their freedom of speech on YouTube. And now it's happening again. And what this is basically the government's been using its primary social network, Google, which owns YouTube, to monitor and control our freedom of speech. We're being censored right now on this show. So, I mean, I know it. I'm acutely aware of this problem. But what we're going to make sure all the networks are going to be under the heading of the FCC. Every network, even on the internet, and this network, Vaughn, is under the control of the FCC right now. We've got FCC controls the internet as a utility, and they made this happen about 2 years ago. So if the FCC, my agency that I choose the director to be, chooses to go after every single network that doesn't provide open venues and stops the censorship that's been going on, they will lose their license to broadcast. Vaughn wouldn't be allowed to do what he's doing to me with my idealized FCC future internet protocols here in the U.S. So any agency that works inside the United States borders will be under this control. Outside, other countries can be, you know, their own choices regarding the internet. But what we're doing right now is trying to get our word out, you and I. And this should never be suppressed. And so far, it hasn't been suppressed by the fact that we still have a chance to speak out. In essence, this is as close to democracy as we'll ever get until we get actual exposure in the mainstream media. Then we become like supercharged, and able to do something, you and I can speak then.
I know. It just seems to me, though, that our ability to have free speech is slowly being taken away from us. Like, over the last, 10 years, it's getting harder and harder for you actually to voice your opinion without somebody saying that you're actually attacking them or hurting them or trying to damage them in some way, when all you are trying to do is voice your opinion. And once the free speech is taken away from us, we have nothing left, right? And I think that that's where the point we're at right now is that our free speech is the last line of defense. And I always thought, too, that the free press was the defender of our free speech. And the free press doesn't even exist anymore. There's only a few people left speaking the truth.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And we're doing it every night here. And you're right. It's slowly eroding. We also have our Second Amendment rights. And Trump kind of threw those out there, like when mentioning Hillary, if she became president, he said, you always have your Second Amendment rights. And that was like a veiled threat. I'm not throwing the Second Amendment rights out as a threat, but it is our standing barrier against a tyrannical society. And what we're seeing in America today is exactly what went on in Germany prior to the overwhelming takeover of the Jews and ethnic minorities that led to the Holocaust. So
exactly.
Many of you people disagree about how many people died during the Holocaust, but no one disagrees that millions or more people died. And the fact is, this despot, who was a Nazi, an Ashkenazi, took over Germany. And we're now looking at a Trump cabinet filled with Ashkenazis. And you wonder, wow, is this by design? And it really is. We're part of a plan that was put in place for years ago. And they're doing this out of the playbook. So we're stepping up out of nowhere, building a third party. No one expected this. Go ahead.
Well, the organizations that are involved in the suppression of the free speech have a very powerful tool, and that is known as democracy. And one of the greatest weaknesses of democracy is that all you have to do is provide the basic necessities of the people. They can go about getting a job and all that other stuff, and then the government can gradually take away your rights. It's a slow infiltration and a removal of your rights. It's not an immediate oppression. You know, there's not like everyone in the country isn't starving and stuff like that, so that they won't uprise. So all you do is you take little bits at a time over the years, and then we end up becoming just basically automatons and do whatever they want us to do. You know, that's how I think.
Yeah, I think it's the death of a thousand cuts, and they're slowly cutting into people. Hey, I'm gonna take another caller with you if you want to stay on.
Yep.
I'll just take another question. Go ahead, stay on. We'll take that other caller. Hello, other caller. What's your question? Hello, other caller listening in. Okay, nobody's there. Okay, let me dump out of that and take this other caller.
Hello.
Hey, you're on with Dark Engine and David. Go ahead.
Hey, David, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yeah, what's up?
Hey, I just wanted to get your opinion on how you feel that the United States is representing itself diplomatically with the current administration on a global scale.
Well, it's a tragedy, really. I mean, we're a caricature. We seem to be a cartoon to the world around us. This grandstanding and saber-rattling by Trump over the past couple of weeks is indicative of a insecure nation, not a nation just holding back, a strong, standing tall nation. And clearly the world is thinking this is an opportunity to manipulate various people within the Trump cabinet. You know, you saw so many things happen under the early formation of his administration, people bribing their way in, and no charges against Trump. No charges yet from the investigation into the Russian connection. So our government is showing its lame duck nature, and Trump seems to be kind of a overreacting person everywhere he goes. And I don't think we needed to be brought to the brink of World War III before the first 100 days were up. I think he pushed the button on a lot of people, and they don't like him, and they want him out. They want him to be removed from power, and I don't think they like his cabinet either. And I think the American people are resoundingly disappointed. Even the people that saw him flip against the patriots, against the people that are fighting the New World Order, against the people who are just hoping that Trump was going to stop the establishment when he is the establishment. And I think the world's looking in and saying, yeah, they've got a puppet president with Trump. We're the same place we were with Obama. That's where I stand. So we'll see where the world goes. We like to open up a dialogue and not create angrier allies and enemies around the world. Trump's creating angrier world. Hatred is increasing. It's just not good. Good question.
Well, I think does everybody remember during the campaign is when Trump was saying how he was going to be the great unifier? Now, right now, I find it kind of difficult to believe, and like there's nothing unified about anything. Everything is fragmented. The U.S. policy and foreign policy is fragmented, and he's like contradictory in like a lot of areas. Even his base, his right-wing base and everything, don't even understand what he's doing, you know, with the attacks in Syria and stuff like that. And then he is putting troops, I believe there is troops. He sent 500 troops to an area in Afghanistan again, and I don't know if they're putting more troops along the Syrian border or not, but I heard that they might be doing that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's ramping up war. He's caused 155,000 Chinese to move directly to the border with North Korea. He's making Russia mobilize to move to the back of Syria. He's changing the complexion of the world theater and the potential for a nuclear time clock to press even closer to the top of the hour is also very real. They just
now, David, do you think that the movement of the Chinese troops is a response to the United States as a threat or as a response to work with the United States to thwart the possibility of North Korea actually attempting to launch a nuclear weapon? Do you feel that the Chinese is working with us or against us or as a third party under their own interests? Or do you think that there is a possibility that we're building closer ties with China at the moment, attempting to build closer ties with Russia, and burying the idea of this old Cold War mentality where, you know, better dead than red kind of thought process?
Yeah, I don't think we are. Obviously, Trump just met with President Xi, and all of this is turning into a kind of a business deal for Ivanka and the Trump establishment. The relationship he has forged with the president of China is more of a business relationship. I don't know what we gave him in exchange for Trump getting 38 trademarks, one of which is a Trump brothel an escort service. Thank you. A Trump escort service in China is now a trademark. Now, that's not diplomacy. That's business. So Chinese see business as something different than diplomacy, and it's a completely different discussion. I don't think Trump has talked to China about the positioning of troops other than to get their position is they don't control North Korea. They buy coal from North Korea, and they stopped buying coal recently in lieu of the behavior of Kim Jong-un. But I think Trump's not listening to the Chinese. They said my idea 5 years ago was to stop the war games in Seoul, and Trump didn't honor that, didn't honor and respect the position of his incoming visitor. So something is not right here. Trump got things in exchange for something we don't even know what we had to put out with China. So it's a very dark relationship we have with China right now. But I can tell you, Russia is equally confusing. So we're kind of unstable with the two leading world powers right now besides us.
You can pretty much thank Obama, though, for not implementing any kind of policy at all for the last 8 years on that, right?
And I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. I believe that what's happening now is that these countries are now feeling out our new representation. They're testing the grounds as like, oh, can we get away with the same things we've been getting? Is the new boss like the old boss? And they're finding out that it isn't like the old boss. So now both parties, I feel, are starting to scramble in a way, trying to work around, okay, how do we establish a new way of operating to where we can work maybe more with the United States. Not necessarily that they respect us more now, but they're kind of forced to work with us more because of the threat of a war option.
I guess that kind of, you know, the separation breeds, you know, some sort of a last enduring relationship, but getting too close in war itself will lead to a trigger point. And the fact that we're now closer to war than ever is the overriding factor, not the diplomacy that's generated by this war. I just think that we are now at a closer trigger point with Russia or China, and it seems to be by design. Trump is just doing what his overseers are telling him to do. They want a conventional war somewhere in the world. They want to continue this. World War III is what they want. And none of us want World War III. I think we could all be in agreement here. But I don't think it's breaching a barrier. I think we're actually creating bigger barriers by being so close now in such direct conflict.
And forgive me, David, when you say they, can you give me a short list of who you're referring to?
Well, obviously the Chinese government and the Russian government and the U.S. government are included in the word they. We all have an obligation at this point.
And you believe they all want war?
I believe that they are closer to war because of Trump. They don't want war. I don't think any one of our nations want war, but because of Trump.
I agree.
Yeah. But I don't think Trump can get off with being, hang on. I've got an errant program playing in the background. Yeah.
Gotta love pop-ups.
Okay, I got rid of it. Okay, thank you. I think that we are really just now on edge because of Trump. His style is very unpredictable, and he's more than likely going to create a differing of opinions because he's so forthright and seemingly unaware of the nuances of diplomacy, like when he disrespected China in regards to Taiwan. It was a big, huge faux pas. And I don't think Ivanka doing a side deal with the president of China is in any way helping us. What did she trade in exchange for the 38 trademark Trump names that he's doing a per personal profit thing going on right now? I mean, we cannot allow this in our White House. He's contaminating our government's operations with his personal investment strategy. This is all predictable. Everything I'm saying right now was predictable. We've seen this unfold right in front of our eyes, and our government's doing nothing because it's a lame duck government. This guy is not helping us, is what I'm saying. You may want to support him and stand there behind him and say, well, just give him time, and we're getting a better edge against China and against Russia. We're not getting a better edge. We're getting people edgy. We're losing in the battle for diplomacy. We need to follow China's recommendation. It's my recommendation. Ironically, 5 years ago, I said we need to stop the war games, and that's what we need to do. And then make an overture to North Korea to suggest that we could open up at least communication via phone or through a third party. And Japan could even introduce themselves as the third party because I understand they have good relations with the North Korean government. That's an angle that Trump isn't exploring.
David, do you respect the sovereignty of North Korea and how they run their country, how Kim Jong Un is running that nation? Do you respect what they're doing there and how they treat their people?
No. I mean, I couldn't possibly respect what they're doing.
So why would you want to open up communication and treat them as an equal player on the global stage, and instead coerce and persuade a dictator, a cold-blooded murdering dictator? And I'm not saying that any other country is not similar to what he's doing, but this is an extreme. This is a cult of personality that is to the extreme, and this person needs to be stopped, in my opinion. And I believe that now, more than ever, we are closer to not having to deal with North Korea as an entity or a threat to the world.
Really? Wow. I think quite the opposite. I think we have a bigger problem unfolding. They're not going to sit back and take this kindly. They're already working on a media campaign to threaten to kill off everybody in America with a direct strike. This has created a backlash within the North Korean government, what Trump has done, and it's only going to fuel a greater response from them. Look, we have a great deal to be concerned about here, because not having a dialogue with another country is dangerous. Communication is clearly the only way out of this. I don't care if I respect or disrespect the guy. I'll communicate with him. Now, I can't really be a representative of this country if I don't open a dialogue with a world leader that
wants with what's happening right now, I believe we are when you say the enemy of my enemy is my friend or my enemy, we are now, I believe, unifying ourselves with countries that we were on worse terms with before. Now we have a common enemy and working towards a common goal. You don't believe that we are closer to working with China in diplomacy?
No, not at all. We are closer to a direct conflict with China. Trump has already created a huge amount of friction between the Chinese government and ours over the position of Taiwan I just mentioned. But there's also
you were mentioning the coal. They're turning back coal from North Korea, and now they're purchasing coal from the United States. We have backed off from labeling them a currency manipulator. A lot of things have changed from the campaign to now.
Not really. He's turned his back on his own coalition of people that believe that China is a currency manipulator. He's not held strong against human rights. He's made no effort to stop the human rights abuses in China. I've heard no dialogue coming out of Trump's cabinet about that. We made more headway with Obama, and that wasn't saying much, than Trump has done now. He has done nothing to reverse human rights violations. Plus, we are seeing the Chinese country being exploited as a nation, providing a tremendous amount of labor at cheap cost, which hasn't changed at all. Nothing's changed with respect to Trump and bettering our economy. Ivanka did not forge a deal with the president of China so that U.S. businesses can now open door to trade. Ivanka got Trump's trademarks put legally out there as bona fide acceptable trademarks. That was helping Trump, wasn't helping America. So Trump is helping Trump. He's not helping America. China wants us to drop the war games in South Korea. That's a fact. So there's no doubt about it. We haven't done it. Trump isn't listening to China. That's showing disrespect. Let's face it. Trump is a disaster with his mouth everywhere he goes. He creates problems, and then he has to back away and lie to his own contingency, the people that got him elected. I don't think we're dealing with a guy who's playing with a full deck. We're dealing with a person who is literally destabilizing the world politics. I'm going to put you guys on hold and take a new caller. Hold on just a second. Hello. You're on. What's your question?
I feel like a zombie and superheroes and fantasy favorites. How can the culture take center stage at a big sports fight this weekend?
Okay. I don't know what you're talking about. I had to drop out of your call. Okay. Well, that's the bottom line. I'm just going to wrap this up here. I've got about a minute and a half left. I just want to reiterate that if you really think that things are getting better with China, why are so many people on edge right now? Why are so many people going, I don't know where the world's going. I don't know what's going to happen. There's going to be a world war. Just ask yourself, do you feel better now that Trump has been president for nearly 100 days? The answer is no. Yeah.
There's one other important thing about the North Korea issue is that China has a perfect tool there. You have North Korea that's out of control. China's like, oh, we'll take care of it if you give us X things. And that's probably what is happening here. The United States has offered certain things to China in order to take care and pull the reins on North Korea. And that's exactly what has happened.
Good point, Dark Engine. That's very, very true. It's like we lost a little ground here. This could very well flip in our face. I don't think that Trump not talking to North Korea is going to help us either. So he's even put that out. Pence said he might just open communication with North Korea. I just don't think that we're going anywhere with this grandstanding and saber-rattling. But you're right. China may be using this as to their advantage. Thank you very much for the call, Dark Engine. I'm going to sign off with you.
Yeah, we'll see you later.
Okay, take it easy, man. And I will say off to everybody else, this has been a good show, good callers, and we'll have this opportunity tomorrow night at 8 o'clock and do the same thing with new people, or even the same people can call back on this interactive virtual chat hub of political ideas.